I would like to thank Mr. Hart for inviting me here tonight to give a word of testimony. I would like to thank most of all my Saviour and my God for saving me. Now, this would be my 15th birthday, actually, tonight, today, because I was saved on the 4th of April, 1999, on Easter Sunday morning, about 3 o'clock in the morning. So it was. So this is, I'm saved 15 years today. I was just thinking that when I was sitting down there. So it was. So I not only thank my Saviour for saving me, but for keeping me this far. And it's only as we look unto Him, who is faithful, that we can work and do and walk in this world as strangers, as people of God. But I would like you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2, please, and we'll read from God's Word. Read from chapter verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called a circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And amen, and God will bless the word to your hearts and souls tonight. Well, I was born into a family of two in Ballymena, the big city there where the big shopping centre. So there is right in the middle over. So there is, but as I grew up, my mum and dad, yes, my mum and dad still aren't saved. I'm the only one saved in my family. Maybe you're here tonight and you think that because your mum and dad saved, you'll be saved. No, it doesn't work like that. I'm the only one saved in my family, so I am. My brother, my mum, my dad, none of them are saved. My sons, I have three sons, none of them are saved. So they're not. I'm the only one saved in that family, and I thank the Lord for that, even for that witness, to be in that family as a witness for the Lord. But my mum and dad were, like everybody else in those days, they grew up with very little. And when they growing up, they says, well, when we have children, we're going to give them what they want. I'd have been a spoilt child, a very spoilt child. So I would have got what I wanted. The only thing I never got was a motorbike when I was 18. That was it. I had clothes, I had shoes on my feet. I couldn't say anything about my mum and dad. My mum and dad were good to us. When you needed a clip round the ear, you got one. So you did. When you needed a hug, you got one. You know, I thank the Lord for the Lord has placed me into a family like that. So my mum and dad didn't drink. So they didn't. I never seen them drunk. I never seen drink in the house. But my mum and dad, they would have went to church. I mind going down to Harville Presbyterian Church with my mum and dad when I was only a wee nipper. So I would have been, I'd only been 2 or 3 years old. And I remember my mother saying to me, we used to call you the little preacher. Because I had to come home and after Sunday school I had to preach to them. But I never ever remember any of that. I don't remember any of that. But my mum told me that not so long ago there. So she did, and it just got me thinking, even back then, you know, the Sunday school then, but I still cannot remember any verses of God's word or anything like that before I got saved. I don't remember any of it, so I don't. And then we moved church. We went to a wee church where we live at in Ballykeel, Presbyterian Church, and just joined the BB and things like that, but the men in there didn't really like me and I didn't really like them. So then all I wanted to do was play football. So it was at a young age, and that's what I'd done. I played football, done goals, and that's really what my life was till about 12 years old. So it was, and we were playing football, and then my cousins, they joined a band in Ballymena. It was the Ballymena Young Defenders, and they were in this band, and it came my time to join the band. So I don't know how it came about, but I'm going down into the Protestant Hall in Ballymena and going in and sitting down, and everybody was there, and my cousins were there, and I was sitting in among them, and this man came over and reached me a flute. And he says, "There's a wee tune, you learn that for next week." And it was the US Marines. I mean that. That was the first tune I ever learned in the flute. But that man at that time, his name was Rodney Balmer. And that's the first inkling I had of Rodney Balmer. So it was, but even then, I was learning the tunes, and we were going to the band practice, and it must have been about 4 weeks, 5 weeks into this, my mum's head bound to have been fried, because I was playing this tune every night, but could never get the hold of it. So I couldn't. There was bum notes here, there, and everywhere, but I was saying, right, everybody else is in this band, I'm going to have to learn this tune. So that's what we done. But one night their knock came to the door, and it was Rodney Balmer and another boy standing, and they says, "Look, we're disbanding this band. I want the flute back." You know, that nearly broke my heart, because I wanted so much to be in the band. I wanted to be so much a loyalist. So that even at that young age, that's all we ever done round the estate. Made bonfires. The Toth is coming up now. They're even in today up in Ballykeel. The wains are running about, putting things into the bonfire, making a bonfire, and that's what I wanted to be. So that, but one shortly after that, then my cousin he started up an our band in Ballykeel. Ballykeel Loyal Sons of Ulster, him and an our fella, and I joined that band. I have nothing against bands, not a thing, but it's what comes along with the bands. Little did I know, when I joined that band, that I would leave the protection of my mum and dad, that I would be an ill-bred man. When I joined that band, I thought I was having life. You know, the psalm says in Psalm 51 and 5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin. Did my mother conceive me?" And I had an excuse now. I used to have to be in for 7 o'clock every night, no matter what. So it wasn't everybody else was running about, but I had to be in for 7. You know, but when I joined the band on a Friday night and Saturday night, I was allowed out. Band practice night, I was allowed out. So it was. My mum and dad didn't know what was happening even in the band practice. At that time, the UVF were having their meetings. After we had the band practice, the UVF, they had their meetings behind after the band. They all joined the band. So they did. And we all seen this, and this is what our desire was at that time. So it was. But you know, the Bible says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way." Nobody would have told me any different. Nobody would have told me any different that in 4 or 5 years' time, I would be crying in a flat. I would be lying in a gutter. That I would be a drunken scut. Nobody, when I joined that band. You know, I thought I was joining the band to parade around Northern Ireland to show my allegiance to my God and my King and my country and that band. You know, wasn't long into the band when I knew there was no God in it. And then I didn't want to know God neither. You know, in Ephesians 2 and 1 it says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." And I honestly can tell you, I was dead in my trespasses and sins. You know, the Bible tells us, "Whosoever committeth sin is a servant or a bondslave to sin." And that's in John 8:34. You know, little did I know. And if you're in this meeting tonight and you're outside of Christ, that means if you haven't got Christ in your heart. It says the carnal mind is enmity against God. You're in this meeting tonight against God. You know, I never heard them truths till I was 32 years old. And I lived in the Bible Belt of Northern Ireland. Maybe tonight you're not going to like what I have to say to you. But I must say it to you. I must say it to you. For I wish somebody would have said it to me. I wish somebody would have said it to me at a young age and warned me where my feet were going to go. You know, I see young men, young women today doing the exact same things as I done. I see my sons doing the exact same things as I done. I warn them. I tell them what's going to happen. So do you. You know, nobody told me. You know, it says in Isaiah 59 and verse 2, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. You know, you have no peace with God. Your head's fried. That means your head's melted. You don't know where you're going. See, you don't know where you're going if you leave this scene of time. You've maybe been out at the weekend, a good night. You woke up in the morning. Maybe who were you lying beside? Do you know her name? Do you know his name? You know, this is reality. This is life. And this is life and death. You know, without Christ, we read it there, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise. I had no promises to hold on to. You know, I started off drinking a tin of beer and a bottle of cider. I ended up inside a bottle of vodka. For I could not live my life except I had a drink inside my body. You know, and that was at the age of 24, 25 years old. I started off 13 years old in that band. All through the troubles, I can tell you many a story, but I'm not here to glorify sin. Anglo-Irish agreement was there. So there was. You know, many a thing I thought I was doing for this country. Little did I know, I was wrecking my own country. I was wrecking my own estate. I was wrecking my own people. I was wrecking my own life. And sadly to say, I was making a big hole for my three sons. I had three sons. To my first wife, and that's another thing, I wrecked my marriage through drink. I had a wife when we got married, when we were 21. And when I was 28, I was divorced. I had three sons out of that marriage. So I became a weekend dad. If you want to carry on in the ways you're carrying on and be a weekend dad, let me tell you, you'll do some crying. When you see your sons coming and going, and you think you're going to go, oh well, that's them away, I'm going for a drink. You know, I went for a drink to kill my sin, so I wouldn't have to think on it anymore. That's how I lived my life. I was condemned. The Bible says in John 3:18, condemned already. The wages of sin is death. If I had died in my sin then, I'd have been in hell, where I deserved to be. You know, people maybe would have come up and spoke to me about the Bible. I'd have said to them, do you understand the life I'm living? Do you understand what's inside my head? Do you understand what I have to wake up to in the morning? And they were telling me that Jesus loved me. You know, I'd have been one of those boys who would have lifted a track off them if it had took one, and I would have scrambled it up and I would have threw it in their face. And I would have said to them, go and get a life. That's what kind of person I was. Well, this fella, Rodney Balmer, got saved. I don't know when Rodney got saved, but he got saved. I mean, Rodney was a nutter. That's all I can say about Rodney Balmer. He was a complete and utter nutter. Rodney, when he done something, he done it 100%. That was it. Rodney was in and out of jail more. Rodney was in jail more than he was out of jail. So he was, and I'd got friendly with Rodney, and we had started working together, but Rodney had got saved. And Rodney had started to come into work, and a Monday morning, I'd have got in on a Tuesday, maybe Wednesday. So I would have. Rodney would have been coming in, and he'd been sitting in a building site with a Bible open at tea time, reading his Bible. And we'd have been all sitting looking at him and going, look at that nutter. You know, but when the crowd was there, I was calling Rodney a nutter. But when the crowd wasn't there, I was asking Rodney questions. And Rodney was learning wee verses of scripture. So he was learning wee verses like Luke 19 and 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And Rodney was telling me I was lost. Rodney had no need to tell me I was lost. I knew I was lost. But I did not know why I was lost. I did not know that I was a sinner. I did not know that I was born in sin. For when I went to Sunday school, and I never heard that. I heard, if you're a good lad, you'll get into heaven. God is love. You know, that's a lie from the pit of hell. That's a lie. For the Bible says in Acts 4 and 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Why would the Bible say that if we can get in our own ways? Why did Christ go to the cross? Why did he say those wonderful, wonderful words? It is finished. You know, men and women, if you're in here tonight, there's a Saviour for you. Matthew 19 and 26 says, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Well, Rodney kept at me and at me and at me, and he was always at me to go to wee meetings. So he was to go to church, and I wasn't going to no church. I wasn't going to go in and sit in with people I didn't know. So I wasn't going to go there. And he had asked me to come to a wee mission up in Bali, and I says, aye, well, I will go, you know. So I will. Well, there was about five or six I was supposed to go, but that night I ended up, it was only me, myself, said I would go. And at this time I was living with a girl, and she said, I'll go away. So by this time me and her had been sitting talking about things of the Lord. We had been sitting talking about the Bible. She had always said to me, Ryan, why do you do those things? You know, and what thing, you know, and what she was meaning is, why every night we go out, why are you fighting? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? I just said to her, I don't need a reason. And neither I did. You know, people, I stand up here tonight talking to you in my right mind. If you'd have seen me in my days, I couldn't even have spoke a word to you. If you'd have been in a bar with me, and I don't do this for anything, but this is the way I was. If I'd have been in that bar, and you'd have been talking to me, and you'd have been trying to get above me, talk above me, I'd have knocked you clean out. I wouldn't even have thought about it. So I would have just knocked you clean out, and that'd have been it. And I just walked away, and I mind Diane many a night, why do you do that? I says, well, I don't need nothing, just go on. But that brought a lot of trouble to the door. So it did. It just brought more trouble, brought police to the door, and my mum and dad's heart was broke. So there was, but 1 Timothy 2 and 5 says there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And this man, Rodney, was pointing me in this way. Well, I went to that meeting that night. And the man Rodney said to me, he says, Ryan, you're ever in a meeting. And if you're in here tonight and you're unsaved, listen to this. This is what he said to me. He says, Ryan, ask God to speak to you. Now, I went into that meeting that night. I said to the Lord, I said to God, I says, God, if you're going to save me, you'll save me tonight. I didn't know what the word save mean, but I knew Rodney was saved. So I did. I didn't know how he got saved, but I knew he was saved. I knew he was changed. You know, he had a smile on his face that I had paid thousands of pounds for. I paid hundreds of pounds for every weekend to get that happiness that Rodney had in his face. Maybe you're out at the weekend trying to find happiness. You'll never, ever, ever find it out there. Never, ever find it out there. It brought me to my knees. It brought me to standing in a dual carriageway, in the grassway, in a dual carriageway, wanting to take my own life because I couldn't live in this world no more. That's where my life had driven me. You know, in Romans 5 and 8 says, God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, when Rodney, I came out of that meeting that night, and he took me home. You know, I came out of that meeting thinking, God didn't even want me. I was that bad that God didn't even want me. Because I went into that meeting unsaved, and I came out of that meeting unsaved. I lived in a flat in Ballykill, and I can honestly say that was in October. I cried every night from that night to the night I got saved. God, why do you not want me? I mind going to bed many a night paralytic drunk, waking up the next morning going, I hope it's today. I lived three stories up. I walked down the stairs, opened the door, and everything was the same. And I went, it's not today. And that went on for months and months and months. And Rodney and another fella started to pray on a Friday night. I didn't know this till they told me after. They'd started to pray on a Friday night that the Lord would convict me of my sins. And I can honestly say the Lord was convicting me. I didn't know at that time. Was convicting me every moment of my life at that time. You know, maybe you're in the meeting tonight and you've been in meetings before and the Lord's convicting you. And he spoke to you and you're scared. Well, I want to tell you something. I tremble every night of the week. You know, it went that far that I wanted to take, as I was saying, my own life. Because I couldn't get it. I couldn't get what Rodney had. I tried to be good. I tried to stop drinking. I done it. You gave yourself a pat on the back, and then on you go. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 and 3, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You know, I wasn't reading the Bible at that time. As a matter of fact, I learned to read reading the Bible. I wasn't a very good reader at school. I'd have walked into the classroom and hold my hands out in English, and I'd have got six and sat down. Spelling day came, I hold my hands out and got another six and sat down. For if you got any more, if we had spelling tests at that time and it was out of 20, and if you'd have got 18 wrong, you'd get 18. So if you walked in and got six, that was happy days. You're only getting six instead of 18, and I was usually getting 18, so six wasn't too bad. I thought anyway. But in those days, you didn't get much help in the English. You get beat in a corner or stuck in the corner and you sit down there, you can do nothing. But that's the way it was. So it was. And that's life. That's the way I looked at it. You know, but Rodney was still talking to me, and I was still being convicted. And me and Diane, we were still talking about the Lord. And I mind going to the public bars in Ballymena. And we were going into the bars, and they were talking about God, and they were talking about God here, and they were talking about everywhere I was going, they were talking about God. I mind sitting in the public bar in Harryville, in the Moat Bar, and they were sitting talking about God. And I go, what are you doing? You're in a bar drinking, and you're talking about God. These are doing my head in. You know, and I was there, and I didn't want to be there, and I was running with the crowd, and I didn't know what to do. Well, on the 4th of April 1999, about 10:30 at night, me and the cousin were arguing in a bar, and I had a vodka and coke in front of me, and I mind drinking it, and I set it on the table, and the wee knock, and I said to myself, I'm just going to turn around and hit you a dig in the mouth, son, and I couldn't be bored listening to you anymore. And I mind that wee noise, and a voice coming into my head saying, Ryan, are you not a better man than this? And I walked to Rodney's house that night. He lived up in Drumtars, about 3.5 miles away. And I walked up there, and I knocked the door, and Rodney was only home for the Martyrs, and he asked me to come in. I came in, and Mr. Millen came in from Ranelstein. So he did. Mr. Millen opened the Bible, and Mr. Millen showed me out of the Bible where I was a sinner, where Christ had died for my sin. And I said to him, well, but God didn't want me, because I had asked God into my life more times than enough, and he never came in. You know, people, I thought everything else had to change. Little did I know I needed a heart operation. I needed my heart to change. I thought when I got saved, everything would change. You know, maybe you're in the meeting tonight, and you don't understand salvation. You don't know. You know, it's just simply by faith. I got down at the age of a bed in Drumtara with about £150 worth of vodka in me that day. I was paralytic drunk. I simply got down at the age of a bed in Drumtara, and I asked the Lord into my heart. I asked him to come in, to forgive me my sins, to cleanse me in his precious blood, and that he would lead me, and that he would guide me through life, because I can't live this life anymore. You know, praise the Lord came in. You say, how do you know he came in? How do you know he didn't? But he did come in. You know, the Bible says in John 14 and verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and that's Christ. And he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. So if you're unsaved, you cannot receive the Spirit of God. Whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. You know, Christ lives within every Christian. Verse 26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. You know, I had to start on the 4th of April 1999 and start to read this book if I wanted to know more about Jesus. You know, I didn't know one story in the Bible when I got saved. Not one. Wee Tam Laverty, I mind being in Ranelstown church and with the children at the Bible class. And Billy Hanna saying, you know the story of Daniel, you know what Daniel done, you know the story of this, Moses, you know what Moses done. I went home and I got wee Laverty in the phone. I said, Laverty, get you over here. Where is Moses in this Bible? Where is Daniel in this Bible? I meant to know these things. And I mind wee Tom coming over, and he came over and he says, he showed me in the Bible, and he says, Ryan, you'd be better going and getting a children's book. And that's what I done. I went and got children's books and read those stories. And read them, and read them, and read them. You know, and it was about 3 months I got saved, and it was about 3 months later of mine. Don't be doing this now. I was driving up the Jill Carriageway up the Antrim, and I was reading a wee trek. So I was. It was called The Empty Tomb. And I was driving along reading it. You know, and I was just praying. And I wasn't my eyes closed in there now. Like, I was driving, I hadn't my eyes closed. I was praying. And I was just saying the Lord speak to me. Really helped me today. I was going through something. I can't mind what it was, but I was going through something anyway. And I mind opening it up. And I mind seeing this man, hand going round and grabbing this man's face like that. And it says, and they pulled the beard off him. You know, I broke down in tears. Because the Lord said to me, that was you. You were there at that cross. He bore my sin upon his own body, upon the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. And I knew from that day that the Lord died for my sins. But I knew from that day, if nobody else in this world was to be saved, he still would have done it for me. You know, you're in this meeting, and he had done the exact same thing for you. If none of us was to be saved, he still would have went to that cross for you. You know, so that made it personal. That made it personal to me. So it did. And that showed me, no matter what, my mum, my dad, my grannies, my grandads, if they were saved, it still wouldn't matter. I still need it to be saved. And it's the same as you today. You still need to be saved. Have you got a personal walk and talk with Jesus Christ? I asked you that question tonight. You know, today, I stand here as a sinner, saved by the grace of God. I stand here in this book. So I do, I mind a woman saying to me one time, when we're reading Jonah, if that book would have said that Jonah swallowed the whale, I'd have believed it too. So would I. You see that book? That book rebuilt my life. Nobody knows how low I was. I didn't want to live. I didn't want to live over 50. I always thought, you reap what you sow. So you do. And I mind being a young boy and going round keeping all the old boys going down the town. And they were around 50, and I didn't want to be living at 50 and people going round keeping me going. You know, and that's what I thought. I didn't want to live, so I didn't. But I honestly can tell you today, I want to live. I have a peace in my heart tonight that I know my family, my sons, will be saved. My granddaughter will be saved. Because this book tells me that they will be saved. You know, this book will take you all around this world, especially you young people. You know, when I wish now I could turn the clock back. People says they don't, but I do. I don't want to live the life I lived. said Adam. I was only existing on this side of eternity until the 4th of April 1999. I get into people's homes today again and sit down. I maybe talk to a son, I maybe talk to a daughter who's a drink problem, who's got a drug problem, or who's just got a problem. You know, see, when I sit down and I look over, I just say, thank you, Lord. That's all I say. Thank you, Lord. And then I say, Lord, how can you help these people? For I can't. There's not one thing I can say to a drug addict. Not one thing that Ryan Smith can do for a drug addict. I lift this book and I tell them there's peace, there's joy, there's freedom. If you want it, it's in there. Don't be afraid to be a Christian. It's brilliant. I love being saved. I love giving my testimony. So do I. Because I want to show people what God can do. I'm saved 15 years today by the night. So, you know, the Lord can keep you. The Lord left it a scumbag from Ballyhale. That's what I was, a scumbag from Ballyhale. Lower than life, lower than low. Thinking that I was a loyalist, thinking that I was a Protestant. I was no Protestant, so I wasn't. I'm a Protestant now. I'm a Protestant now against the Roman Catholic faith. That faith that takes people to hell. That faith of good works. I hope tonight that you see I did not work my way here tonight. I did not work my way here tonight. I get down at the edge of a bed in Drumtara. I never went to church. The time I went to church, I got married. So I did. That was it. I had to go for 6 weeks. And the wee prime minister, he never preached the gospel. So he never. See, this country today, I love my country. I love my people. So I do. This country needs Jesus Christ. You know, you need Jesus Christ tonight. Or you want to be in an army, be in the Lord's army. Because I'm going to tell you a wee thing. He'll never let you down. And he's always there, right beside you, when you need him. He's not like that friend who leaves you lying in the gutter. So he's not. One of my sons came home the other night. So he did. His friends left him in the gutter. Such friends they were. They went out with him, left him in the gutter. A taxi man left him in the middle of the street. I don't get it easy at home neither. So I don't. I pray for them. God will save them. They have to live their own life. But you're here tonight. And see if a Christian has brought you here tonight. He's like Rodney Balmer. He's the best friend you'll ever have. Because he's brought you here tonight to hear the truth. If you die in your sin, you're going to hell. If you're in your sin tonight, you're a child of the devil. I was a child of the devil till the 4th of April 1999. And I served him well. What way are you serving him tonight? Young man, what way are you serving him tonight? Have you your suit on, your tie on, and you know you're not saved? Don't live any more for him. No more, he's a liar. He's stinking, he'll take your life. He's taking two young men's lives in Ballymena at the minute. Say, Haz, I can take you to houses where they're wrecked. And I'm talking about Free Presbyterian houses. Young men that's grew up in the gospel. Young girls and they're wrecked because of sin. This country's on their way out. Drugs in this country is going to overtake. Or young people. My granddaughter's coming up. Mr. Park's grandson's coming up. In the schools today, the weans are going in with diazepam in them to the teachers. How's the teachers doing it? I don't know. When I went to school and I looked wrong at a teacher, I got a duster through at me. So I did. I got a slap round the ear. So I did. You know, the country's wrecked. We've got a government and they don't care one thing about anybody. But Christ, Christ is the answer. Christ is the answer to all our problems. Amen.